John chapter 20. We're going to look at the empty tomb today. Amen. Gospel of John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for so many blessings. And we thank you for the word of God that you've given us, that we are sure about and we believe. And we thank you for the comfort that they bring and the blessing. And the salvation, the souls that will simply believe them and seek your face. Ask your Lord to bless the message today, and may some souls get blessed from it, and that there might be many drawn to you. We ask you, Lord, that as we walk in this old life, we'd walk with a joy and a peace that passes understanding. Give me help today, Lord, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How about the empty tomb? It wasn't an empty tomb for a while, but then all of a sudden they come here, there is an empty tomb.
Amen.
First day of the week. What day is that?
Sunday.
That's right. That's why we meet on Sundays. Some people think we ought to meet like the Jews do on Saturdays. And I've had, there's a lot of controversy throughout Christianity over the days. But the reason why we meet on the days is going to see Jesus meets this Sunday. And then he meets the next week, 8 days later, that's another Sunday. And that's why the Christian church began to meet on Sundays. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. She is about like Averlene. Averlene did not like to go to bed after 9. And she got up at 4:30 every morning. I thought one time that I would, I thought she was lonesome. I got up with her. I ruined her day. She says, this is the only time I'm away from kids and husbands. And so I never did get up again. But it was really a shock to me. It hurt my feelings. I lie a lot, you understand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Mary loved the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord loved her. When it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, she's there before the sun's up, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And remember, this stone is a heavy stone, and which to take several soldiers to roll it in back in and out of place. Well, the stone's open. The sepulchre is open. And she sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. That means that she wasn't that old.
Right.
How many of you ladies would be running? She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, John, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Some of you might be a fan of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great English preacher. In fact, his sermons were taken down by stenographers, 3 or 4 of them in his congregation, and he would correct them, and then give them to the English newspaper that, when England was the big sea power, went all around the world. So he's a very, very famous preacher. If you happen to have his books, look at the sermon, they have taken away the Lord. And I don't know where they've laid him. It's a very good sermon. But anyway, he took that and applied it to people trying not to go by the Bible and other things like that. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. I think that means that John's younger than Peter. And came first to the sepulcher, and stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Looks like Jesus just woke up, took the headpiece off, got out, walked out. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. He recognized it. He's risen. Amen. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Man, they got a shock. Just like Mary Magdalene, she really got a shock. And she went there to go and attend to the body and whatever. I don't know what she was going to do about that big rock that they rolled in front of the grave. But they did not know the scripture that he's going to rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again into their own house. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned back herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. They're not expecting to find Jesus alive. They're expecting to find Jesus dead. And somebody standing up and walking around in front of you. That wasn't, couldn't be Jesus. They saw him crucified. They saw the soldier put the spear in his side. They saw him, as the Bible says, gave up the ghost. He let it up. He let it loose. So they're expecting him to be dead. And Mary is going to be the first one that recognizes it. Because Jesus is going to confront her right there. Woman, why weepest thou? Because they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. And she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. You wouldn't expect it. You saw him crucified for that time and then saw him put into the grave and the big rock put over it and he's dead. He's dead. She wouldn't be thinking about him talking to her right there. I wouldn't. But he says, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni. That's verse 16, which is to say, Master. Wow. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. It's fantastic.
Amen.
The Lord's alive.
Amen.
He's not dead. You just thought he was dead.
Praise the Lord.
He shed his outward coat and he was still alive with that eternal life that he had within him all the way. John saw it and believed. Do you believe?
Amen.
I didn't see it, and he said, blessed are they that have not seen,
amen,
and yet have believed. Well, that's one of my places I fit in. I didn't see it, but I believe it.
Amen.
And because I believe it, I believe the other scriptures, that I have eternal life.
Amen. That's right.
I'm not going to get eternal life. I will just lose this life, and my eternal life will go on.
Yeah. Amen.
If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit and God Almighty, you're never going to die.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Now, I don't know what the experience is to a person when we do shed our skin and we physically die. It's a miserable time. Bless your hearts. And I've seen enough death in my life. I pity some of the guys and soldiers that have gone through all sorts of massacres and whatever. But we bury a few people along the way. Now, Solomon said it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of laughter or rejoicing or feasting. And why? To remind us that that's our future. We're going to shed this body.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an interesting thing. Jesus had the same body.
Yeah.
While he's talking to Mary. And when he meets with the disciples in the two different Sundays that are listed here, he said, stick your finger. Shove your hand. Examine me and see. I'm he. I'm alive.
Amen.
So you're probably going to have the same body you got right now. You've been given that body maybe, and that personality, whatever it is that makes us what we are. Forever. Some of you say, oh no. I got to live with this forever. Well, it's going to be improved. I'm sure hoping for the improvement. They didn't know yet the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Wow, that's something. Of course, he rose people from the dead in his ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
He stopped the caskets sometimes. Stopped the funeral processions. And in fact, when he got come to his buddy, he let him in the grave 4 days.
Yeah.
Don't take him out now. He stinks.
Right.
No, he's alive. Lazarus, come forth. You know, I've thought about it. If he didn't mention by name Lazarus, that whole cemetery would have got up. But he got his friend. Can't talk. Got my tooth tangled around my tongue, or my tongue around my tooth, and couldn't see what I was saying. I've got a lot of foolishness in my heart today. Disciples went away again into their own home. Now, in verse 11, Mary Magdalene is the first to see him. Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And if everybody in here is weeping, sometime, some of you more than others. But when you're weeping, you don't see things too well, do you? You don't think about anything else. You just think about what's troubling you. Well, here she is. She's crying because she had all good intentions this morning. Got up early, headed out towards, I don't know how she was going to remove the stone, but she headed out there anyway. And she was going to perform some comfort to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's dead. He's dead. He's lying in a tomb. She stood at verse 11. Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. Seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, at the other at the feet. Where were they when Peter and John? Isn't that interesting? They went in there and they didn't see any angels. Well, she bows down and looks into that sepulcher, hewn out of the rock, whatever, and she sees two angels in white. The one at the head, at the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. He's not there anymore. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said to them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Of course. We have cemeteries, and most families visit them every so often. Clean up the grave or take care of different things. And cemeteries all over the place. Great, big, huge cemeteries. She went there to perform that type of a ministry. Verse 14, And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. He's standing there right there by her side. In verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener. There you go. Saw Jesus standing, knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She's going there to do some last rites or protect the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she didn't need to. The Lord had already done that.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now, I personally think it's a comforting thing to have a cemetery, to know where your ancestors are buried or your friends are buried. Many soldiers are buried in foreign lands and not necessarily big national cemeteries either. My personal name, Lyndall, was my dad's best friend, Lyndall Dixon. And they were distant cousins, but they were best friends. And he died in World War II and is buried on an island somewhere in the Pacific. And I got his name. Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. Oh, she's going to know that voice. Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. Wow. Here's number one. We got an empty tomb, and here's the first sighting of Jesus. And it's Mary Magdalene. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them. Something to think about here. We, in our day and age, we live in a modern, wonderful time where we've got all sorts of great cars and airplanes and trains and every kind of thing imaginable. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time in life, I think.
Amen.
They think about going, sending people to Mars. Have you heard them think about that? What you would have to do is to get a bunch of kids and put them on the spaceship. Do you realize at the fastest speed we're going, they're going to be years getting there. But not Jesus. He said, don't touch me now. I haven't yet gone up there and taken care of my work. What are you talking about? Instantaneous between heaven and earth. Hey, he's going to walk through doors. He's going to appear with them. Wow, I tell you what. That's going to be good. Well, I'm going to go up and see the Lord, and I'll be with you in 15 minutes. Wow, how about that? Well, as far as I'm concerned, this proves that's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Woman, why weepest thou? Wow. They've taken away my Lord. Are you the gardener? If you've borne him hips, tell me where thou hast laid him. I will take him away. She wasn't giving up. She came there with a purpose. She had love in her heart. And she came there with a purpose. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And when she heard her name come from his voice, she recognized the Lord.
Amen.
And she was probably, she's weeping all the time. She's probably just, you know, covering her eyes or wiping the tears away, not getting a real good look at who she was talking to anyway, just knew it was a man. Mary, she turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She knew him. She recognized him. That's an interesting thought here in verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. As I understand the Jewish religion, Jesus is going to put his blood on the mercy seat of heaven. And that's the total righteousness that he lived. And that's the total righteousness. That's the credit of fulfilling all the law and all the love and all the needs. So that God could give a gift of eternal life. Nobody has ever earned eternal life except Jesus.
Amen.
Moses didn't do it, and Samson didn't do it, John and Peter didn't do it. Wow. So now we have a fulfilling of the law and all the commandments.
Amen.
And it's there for anybody to see. And what's a beautiful thing about that is that God takes that in place of your poor record. I remember as a kid, I was going to church, whatever, and I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. And I would think, well, I know I'm not as good as this one, and I know I'm better than that one. I wonder if I will be in the, where's God going to draw the line? You ever think like that?
Yeah, amen.
That's wrong thinking completely. You see, every single one of us comes short of the line.
Amen.
There's no drawing the line. Everybody's on the wrong side of it.
Right.
But here we have now one man. There was Adam that brought us into sin, and then here is the second Adam. He's going to take us out of it.
Amen.
And he has established this perfect righteousness.
Right.
And he's went down to earth and got some people to see him and know him for about 3 years, making disciples. And then he said, if this is the only way it's going to be done, I'll drink my cup, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Do what your will is.
Amen.
And he goes into the crucifixion and then, praise the Lord, the resurrection.
Amen.
And he's now established a perfect righteousness, not only to the law of Moses, but to the love of God. And for somehow, some reason, some way, God Almighty can apply that to you if you want it.
Right.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
You ever walked in and you owe a big bill? You walked in and you find out somebody's paid it? That doesn't happen very often.
No.
But it happens with God.
It's true.
I recognized I had a big bill to pay.
Right.
I recognized that I wasn't the worst, but I sure wasn't the best either.
Yeah. Amen.
I knew I needed some help.
Amen.
And God gave me that help.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
In the beautiful verses.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift, notice the word gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. I remember thinking about how, what do I do if I lose this? How can I lose it? Well, if it was earned, if I deserved it, and I got to the place where I didn't deserve it, I wouldn't have it. But if it's a gift,
amen.
The gift of God is eternal life. That's grace, man. That's what, I don't deserve that.
Right.
And excuse me, but you don't either.
Right.
You don't measure up near as high as you put yourself.
Yeah, amen.
I promise you that.
Amen.
The gift of God. Wow. I've been trying for 68 years to convince people of that fact.
Yeah.
All you got to do is see it. Once you see it, then all you got to do is look up to God and say, I believe, Lord.
Amen.
Forgive me of my sins, save my soul, change my life, and give yourself to him.
Amen.
And you'll have eternal life.
Praise you, Lord.
And then when you go to the gates of heaven, as they say, St. Peter won't be able to stand against you. Because you got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's more than any priest or pope ever had.
That's right.
Wow. Why weepest thou? If thou born him hence, Mary, Master, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Don't touch me. I'm still in the business of finishing out what needs to be done. And he's going to have to go to his Father to get that done. And then he says, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God.
Wow.
That's a pretty good message to take to the disciples that are all bent out of shape from, man, they're discouraged. You ever really been discouraged?
Yeah.
Man, I can get there in a minute's notice. They're discouraged. They did not want to see him dead. They did not want to see him on that cross of Calvary. They were good friends. You know that what, bless your heart, we lose friends in life. And there's a sorrow to it.
Yep.
And Solomon tells you that it's better to go to the house of sorrow than it is to the house of feasting or whatever. Why? Because that's where you're going to end up. It makes you think, I am going to die too. If he died, well, I'm going to die too. I just lost a cousin this month. I was just about 3 or 4 months older than him, and we were actually close cousins. And they buried him Thursday. What does that tell me? I am going to die. He was almost my age, healthy, whatever. Good guy. If you're out partying all the time and you never get up to see a casket, you don't think straight. You're going to meet God. And bless your heart if you're not prepared. You need somebody to stand in your way. Wow. I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. How about that?
Amen.
He's telling this to Mary. My Father and your Father, Mary. My God and your God, Mary. Amen. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. And remember, Jesus appears to the disciples the first Sunday evening. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembling for fear of the Jews. That's right. They killed the Lord. What might they do to some of you? I get a magazine, or it's a magazine, about the martyrs that are dying for Jesus around the world today. You and I are meeting here free. There aren't any policemen standing outside taking down names. You can worship the way we worship, or you can worship the way there's 55 different ways in the city of San Antonio right now, this morning. And we don't suffer for it. Well, there are martyrs that if they just become a Christian, they lose their job, they lose their family, they may even lose their life. It's going on in the world today. Now, there is some persecution and some wickedness in our country, bombing churches and attacking people and stuff like that. But I haven't been. Not since I left Guatemala. In Guatemala, there are some people that love me because I was American. They just love me. They just do anything for me because I was an American. And I had others just this opposite. They just hated me because I was American. Walk around, scratch my pickup, you know, with rocks and stuff. Just because I was American. Well, I'm a Christian. And some places around the world are very strongly held, Muslim places and other kinds of religion. And you don't fit in with them very good. And some of them, they die. They get killed. The martyrs aren't through. We're still seeing people die for what they believe. And just a simple thought, to accept Christ as your Savior. Wow. Thomas, verse 24, one of the 12, called Didymus, the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, where was old Thomas? Did Thomas have a real good reason for missing the meeting? Do you have a good meeting when you, do you have a good reason when you miss the meeting? Or are you just lazy? Or isn't this important to you? You know, I missed a lot of church before I got saved. And for any kind of reason. But you know, since I got saved, man, when I missed, I either had a real good reason or I was sick. I just want to be with the believers.
Yeah.
You.
Amen.
I want to be with you. I know we're not a real big church. Not a lot of people think the same way we do. That's all right by me. I want to meet with believers.
Yeah.
I want to praise Jesus over again.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a long, long time. And it thrills my soul. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I have life.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And there's a few people around that believe like me. Amen?
Yeah.
I like paying for those missionaries. Like that painting at the back there. What we did was train people how to win souls. What we did is take some very young people or very uneducated people and show them what soul winning was and how people get saved, how they get forgiveness of sins, how they get the joy of God in their life.
Amen.
And then we went on, and church after church has started because some guy said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Hey, it gave me so much joy to know that my sins were forgiven and I was on the road to heaven. Reading this Bible, man, it cemented it into my mind. Wow. Couldn't help but talk about it. Well, people get mad at you. Yes, so they get mad at you for all sorts of reasons. Might as well give them a good one. I'm mad at you because you keep witnessing about Christ.
Amen.
Well, I'm sort of mad at you because you haven't accepted it. Amen or oh me. Man, I got to change. And I'm getting old and weak and feeble and mentally deranged. But I'm still happy to talk about the gift of God.
Amen.
Jesus had the same body. He said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father which is in heaven. Now, I don't know how long it takes to go to heaven. But it looks like it's a pretty short journey.
Yeah.
He just stepped out and said, hello, Lord. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
A lot of things in the creation and everything, that they amaze me. They really do. I am amazed at the intricacy of God. The wisdom, the knowledge in so many different areas. How many different kind of eyes did God create?
Yeah.
That's no accident. That's no accident. The DNA idea that you could reproduce me, you say, why would anybody want to reproduce you? I don't have the answer to that question. But the idea that it could be done. They've done it on sheep, I know. And animals and whatever. Wow. Somebody with a super brain, a whole lot bigger than mine, figured things out. You know that? God is awful smart. Even this way of being saved. Not that you have to change your whole life and live by all the commandments and never break any of them. No, here's a way where when you break them, you keep on going with God. You confess and forsake. You ask for forgiveness. Man, I've been asking for forgiveness for 68 years. Probably was after a whole lot longer than that. And here Jesus has said, Mary, don't touch me. I've got still work to do. I got to go to my Father. I got to go to my God. And He's going to meet with them on Sunday. first day, as we. And he appears with him when Thomas is not there. Now, what did old Thomas do that was so important? Why wasn't he at the meeting of the other ones?
Right.
I think about that when I think about some of you. Why is it so important for you to stay home when you're not sick?
Amen.
You're just lazy, you bum.
Amen.
You need a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ by committing yourselves to the church and to the missionaries and to the preachers and to the brethren. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
Thomas missed out. Thomas missed out. I tell you what, I've missed out a few times. You ever missed out? Yeah, you have. Peace be unto you. Isn't that something? Verse 21. Peace be unto you. That is a wonderful gift. If I were wishing a gift upon you for your life now and for the rest of your life, peace would be a pretty good one.
Yeah. Amen.
That's got a lot in it. Peace in your own mind, peace with other people, peace. Don't let things bother you too much. Peace be unto you.
Yeah.
Wow. He's meeting with the apostles in verse 19. The same day at even, being the first day of the week, that's your Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. I'm not in fear of anybody today, you know. We don't have anybody even standing outside with posters or whatever.
Yeah.
Man, we're eating, we're meeting free.
Amen.
Even just accepted by the community. And even if they don't want to come, they're not worried about us being here.
Right.
The same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Well, Jesus came in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had showed unto them his hands and his side, he still bore the scars. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes. All that sorrow and that trouble and problem and the days. And here he is. And he can prove he's who he is because of the scars in his body.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, we thank you for so many, many blessings you've given us.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that you've made salvation so plain, so clear. An infant and a young child can believe it and be saved. And old men, wicked men, women, we can be saved. Thank you for your word that you preserved and brought down to us. I see it, I read it, I believe it, I trust it. Now, Lord, bless the rest of the meeting in this day. And I ask it in Jesus' name.